All right, welcome back to the Mid-Range Podcast. My name is
Jason back.
Weiss. I'm here with my co-host, Nick Geramonte. How are you, Nick?
I'm amazing. We're, what, 3 weeks away from the season now? AP's out, KenPom's out, everything's coming out. It's a great time to be alive, Jacob Weiss, and I'm excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited to talk to you as well, Nick. And
thank you.
We know what we're talking about today, but why don't you tell the listeners what we're talking about today?
Well, the first few episodes, we gotta get through these soft conferences. We act excited about the ACC. We act excited about the Big East. We act excited about the Big Ten, and you always have this forced enthusiasm for the Big Ten that's just not real. Yeah. But here we are, Jacob Weiss, and we're getting in to previewing my favorite conference. I think the nation's favorite conference, and that's because this is the greatest conference, not just in all of college sports, but specifically in college basketball. And that's what I am thrilled, literally... I am thrilled to talk Big 12 basketball today because we sit here 3 weeks away from New Orleans TCU from finding out, is Houston real? Is BYU real? Is Iowa State real? Is Texas Tech real? Is Baylor going to be all right? Is UCF going to be frisky? Is Arizona State going to be bad? That's what
I think I know the answer to that last one.
Yeah, they're going to be great. All the teams are great.
Every team, the entire hot take, the entire Big 12 going to the tournament.
I honestly don't disagree, but that's a conversation for another day. That's a conversation for another day, Jacob Weiss, because we're here to talk some basketball.
Nick, you know I'd love to start the pods with a question, and I got a good one for you today.
Jacob Weiss, hit me.
I know. Graham McCaslin has been the head coach of Texas Tech for 9 seasons.
That is not true.
Is that not true? What are you talking about?
That could not be less from true. If you remember their Final Four team... Chris Beard, Graham McCaslin was at North Texas about 2 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
That's a hot that's a great one to start off the pod.
Damn, I was so proud of this one too.
Yeah, to be honest, I expected bigger out of you, but you're trying to keep me on my feet, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I misunderstood what he was saying. No, and yeah, that's pretty obvious actually, now that I think about it.
But, yeah. The whole Chris Beard situation was kind of a big deal.
But I will ask you this. Graham McCaslin has been a D1 college basketball head coach for 9 seasons.
That
is a fact.
And he's had a lot of success.
How many of those seasons has he outperformed his KenPom preseason ranking?
I'm going to take a limb here and I'm going to say every season. Jacob Weiss.
That's right. And they're projected by KenPom number 12 this year. Do you see them outperforming it?
Here's the thing, Jacob Weiss. I don't know if we want to get off on the overrated tangent right away. They're my overrated team. And this stems from previous stuff. This is why you gotta listen to all the mid-ranges. You gotta get the full story of the way we think over here. They lost, I think, more than they think that they lost. Now, you bring back JT Toppin, Big 12 Player of the Year. And you bring back Christian Anderson, who had an amazing, amazing freshman season there. And he's looking like a star. You lose D5. And you lose a lot of good guards, Elijah Hawkins, all these examples that I think are going to hit them more than they expect. Now, I think what's benefited Graham McCaslin in the reason that he's overperformed and he's an outstanding coach is that he really has been slept on for the majority of his time as a head coach. Like, you saw what he did with North Texas. You saw what he did before then. You saw what he did at the start of Texas Tech, how they weren't crazy high expectations, but kind of exceeded those. Now it's time, right? Now you got to prove it. There's no more. It's like there's no more hiding behind some lofty expectations. They're a top 10 team. We saw the AP poll drop today as we're recording this. They're a top 10 team. They're expected to be a top 10 team. Who's going to be their go-to guy? Like, their go-to scorer? Because, yes, JT Toppin is their guy, and he's going to be a menace. And Christian Anderson is a catch-and-shoot guy, but he doesn't have the shield of Chance McMillan to hide behind. And he doesn't have the guard of Elijah Hawkins to distribute him the ball. In D5, Deron Williams was a guy who had the ball in his hands a lot. And I just think, yes, they got good players. Donovan Atwell. They got Tyrese Bryan from Santa Clara, who I like. Lawan Watts from Washington State. They got some good WCC guys coming in. But to me, the balance in the defense that was quality last year for Texas Tech isn't as caliber as it is this year. So while they are for sure a tournament team, they are probably a top 25 team, I don't see them as a top 10 team, which is what they're ranked coming into the season.
So on that point, I guess I'll ask you, they are number 10 in the AP poll. They're number 12, yeah, as I mentioned, in KenPom preseason. Is that just simply McCaslin plus Toppin, proven track record, they're just getting a boost because of that? Or where do you think your expectations are falling short of the national consensus?
Yeah, because here's the thing. It's from a national point of view, if you're looking at this team not really diving full in, you go, all right, this team could have easily won, not easily, was pretty close to winning a national championship and going to a Final Four last year.
Yeah.
They had a monumental choke against Florida, and Florida goes on to win the national championship, and Texas Tech should have been there and had all the talent to do so. I just think, and okay, you go, oh, this team's going to be right back there, and they bring back Jake's top and bring back Christian Anderson. I just think there's a drop-off from the talent outside of those guys. I thought Deron Williams was their most important player last year. I thought Chance McMillan, Warrior, was amazing for him, one of the best shooters in the country. I thought Elijah Hawkins coming over from Minnesota brought that Big Ten brand of basketball than a point guard that they really needed. And I just think the guys they brought in weren't to the caliber of those guys. And I think they had a much more complete team than I think we realized last year. Yes, JT Toppin is amazing, and I'm all in on JT Toppin. And we'll get into that later on. But it's going to fall on him a ton more. And yes, he did it at New Mexico, but this is a whole different animal, and you're asking Christian Anderson to take a next step, and you need, like, a Lawan Watts to really do what he did in the WCC here to have them be a top-10 team. Now, JT Toppin and Christian Anderson alone are a duo that's going to bring you to the tournament and bring you towards the upper half of the Big 12, but, again, top-10 is big-time props, and I just don't see that.
And that's fair, Nick. I wonder, in Torvik 28, so you're riding with Torvik on that one. It'll be interesting to see.
I'm riding.
If we... Oh. All right. I guess that's fair. If we run through the AP poll here, you got Houston second in the country. We talked a little bit about Houston in our preview episode. I think we're both on the same page that they might be the best team in the country. Why don't you tell me about Houston and tell me what to expect for Kelvin Sampson and the Cougars?
Yeah, before we get into Houston, let's talk a little bit about the AP poll. Because it showed just what you want to see. This is a team. This is a conference that... Look, the AP poll, especially in football, has been getting a lot of slack. But I like what they did for the most part in this poll. Yeah, because you have six teams in the Big 12 in the top 25. That is tied for most in Big 12 history. You know what year they tied with last year? The Big 12 still at the top. Tied for most of any conference this year. You think SEC separates them from the Big 12? No, we're right in there, top six at the top. And then, okay, you want to see the elite teams. They have the most top 10 teams of any conference this year. When you're looking at Houston, BYU, and Texas Tech, it's deep. It's the best conference in college basketball. It can't be matched by any other. And to your point against Houston, now, the debate is Houston, Purdue, but as we've both talked about, like, Houston, I do think they're the best team in the country. They have an elite returning core of Miles Yuzin, Emmanuel Sharpe, and JoJo Tugler. Again, Purdue's the only one that can probably rival that, but because these guys already went to a national championship, I guess Purdue did as well a couple years ago, but coming off it last year and really being possession away from winning it, it seemed like that was a stronger team than the Purdue team a couple years ago, and obviously Zach Edey is a massive imprint into that team. But, okay, yes, you lose an LJ Cryer, you lose a Juwan Roberts. This is the mystery of them. This is why I think some people aren't fully brought into them, is that you have freshmen coming in to fill those voids. But the two freshmen are five stars, top 10 recruits in the country, and Isaiah Harwell and Chris Sinak. Those guys are perfect for Kelvin Sampson's team. They're going to come in, and you trust Sampson to be able to coach them getting ready. And again, playing along with that elite returning core of Yuzin, Emmanuel Sharpe, JoJo Tugler, probably the big three there, it gives them even more of a buffer to where they, you know, they don't have to be hero ball right away. Like, you're looking at a Darren Peterson or an AJ DeBanza or guys like that. Like, those guys are going to have to come in and be probably the top option right away. This is not the case here. These are tough, disciplined guys. Like, the defense and rebounding is going to be elite again. Heavy expectations right away. And, like, that's the only thing that I think scares me is that they're freshmen. So, like, the uncertainty of that is a question, but I give Kelvin Sampson the benefit of the doubt at this point in his career. He's one of the best coaches in the country, probably top four in my opinion, and I just trust them to be able to repeat. And they've just been so, so dominant in this conference ever since they come in. They've got a road win at every place in the Big 12 besides one school in the first 2 years. So that school must have an insane home court advantage to be able to shut down Houston like that. But
definitely,
regardless, they've been dominant.
Yeah, Houston is awesome. Like you said, Uzan, Sharp, Tugler, three guys who come back who are impact players for them last year, and they bring in these two freshmen who are going to start alongside these experienced guys. It's the type of build that I love for a team, where you have experience and quality and proven success, and you throw in a couple... Don't make that face at me. You bring in a couple five-star guys that really have this opportunity to pop off and take you to an upper echelon. It's probably the lowest... What I will say about Houston, and they're ranked number two in the country fairly, and they deserve to be there, and I do think that they're the best team. The floor for Houston is lower than it's been in years past because you have super lofty expectations on freshmen. And now the floor for them is in the last, since they've been in the Big 12, let's say, has been maybe second in the Big 12 in winning, going to like an Elite Eight, right? Like, their floor has been top five in the country since they've been in the Big 12. I'm going to say their floor is maybe like 10th to 12th in the country if it doesn't go well, and they're still going to be an impact team all season. They're still going to be the favorites in the 12, and they're still going to be a massive contender come March. You got to trust Sampson, and you got to trust these guys that return and these young freshmen that are going to come in and make a big difference. And we both know how much you love Big 12 freshmen.
Yeah, I don't know really what that's supposed to mean, but I guess so.
I know.
Like, I'm excited.
I know
to
you
watch
love
these
freshmen. I know you are. I know you're excited to see freshmen around campus. It brings a certain level of excitement.
It does. I understand. This is a great. There's a lot of great freshmen in this league. Darren Peterson, AJ DeBanza.
Yeah, of course.
Just to name a few. Caden Edwards.
Yeah. There's great freshmen all over this conference just waiting for you to discover them. And that's the best part.
Yeah.
And I will ask you if we go. Go ahead.
Go for it. I was gonna agree with you a little bit, because I do see the question marks, like LJ Cryer, Juwan Roberts, Terrence Arsenal, like these are big losses. And honestly, there's probably more of question marks with them than Purdue. So
yeah,
I could easily see why Purdue is number one, but yeah, like you said, given the benefit of the difference to Samson is huge.
Definitely. Now, we discussed this. Texas Tech is a 10th in the AP poll. Houston is a 2nd. There is another Big 12 team in between them, and that team is in Utah. It's the Mormons, BYU. Yeah. They bring in AJ DeBanza, the number one recruit in the country. Pay him, what's the number? You might know the figure. Is it 8, 9 million?
It's about 8, yeah. Yeah.
So one of the biggest NIL contracts to go out to any athlete, right? I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. They're spending like crazy. Where do you sit with TCU this year? Do you think they'll meet their lofty expectations?
With TCU, you said?
BYU?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I'll get to TCU later. But yes, I'm high on this BYU team. Because here's why. You're relying on AJ DeBanza a lot, yes. AJ DeBanza was, until Darren Peterson jumped him last minute in the recruiting cycle, the top guy in this class and looking to be a one-and-done guy. Here's why I like BYU, though. They retained Richie Saunders. Richie Saunders, if you remember from last year, he's one of the top offensive players in the country. He was a All-Big 12 guy last year. He really dominated as they sort of flipped their season around and led that team to a top six seed when, again, halfway through the season, when they were coming off the loss to TCU, they were really not living up to expectations and really worried about if they're going to make the tournament at all or not. And he's developed. He comes from the WCC, and he's been there a while. So that's just trust right away. You know he's going to be there. They bring back Kevin Kade. You know those guys are a great duo that you bring back. And then Dawson Baker's still there. But the transfer portal, too, they make the big splash. Like, Rob Wright was a classic example of today's transfer portal where Baylor signs him to a lucrative NIL deal to get him back millions of dollars, and then that doesn't matter at all because BYU is just able to poach him for more money. And Rob Wright is one of the best point guards coming back in the country. He was a true freshman last year. He was a five-star coming in. He's elite. So, and you also get Kennard Davis. My point is that it's not just DeBanza. He can come in, and he's probably going to be their best player, but he doesn't have to do crazy amount of stuff. It's a much less level of Duke last year with Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
But because that Duke team last year could honestly go talent for talent with probably any team of the past 10 years or so, or really up there all time. So this is, I don't think it's that level, but it's a situation where, you don't have to be a hero. Like, Con Knipple could be like Richie Saunders, and Rob Wright could be Tyrus Proctor, and KB Kade could be Kamen Malawach. Again, less version of this team, and to put those expectations on him would be unfair, but the similarities are there where this is a great, great situation for DeBanza to go into, and in a pro-style system that will get him prepared for the NBA, with Kevin Young obviously coming from the NBA last season. So this is a perfect fit.
I agree. I think Richie Saunders is definitely a guy who kind of gets underrated in the national conversation with DeBanza coming in, with Rob Wright coming in. I mean, he's a guy who put up 17 a game on 47 from the field, 43 from three last year. He was an elite shooter, elite player for them in a team that made a deep run in the tournament. He is like 24. It's going to turn 25 years old this year. He went on a mission trip.
Did the mission. Right
straight out of high school.
That's the hack of BYU. That's what they've been getting away with.
I know.
I'm not getting away with. Because obviously respect.
No.
But,
we have no problem
but
with,
it
we
gives
have
them
no
a massive
with the Latter-day Saints. Oh,
yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely does. I mean, these are grown men. Although, but nowadays in college basketball, everyone has the same advantage because you could just go over to the G League and get a guy who's already played 2 years.
Yeah, but now that we've gotten out of COVID years, it is we are seeing less of it again. Again, it's going to swing back. And now that BYU's investing because they're in the Big 12, heavy money, BYU's going to be a force.
Yeah, I mean they're running BYU basketball like an NBA team.
Yeah. Yeah.
From top to bottom. And even if BYU disappoints this year to some extent, I think this is not a Ben Simmons LSU situation where it's just a guy going to a team that's not going to be that great or is going to be maybe good for 1 year and then fall off. There is so much investment going into BYU sports and basketball significantly. They will be good. This could be a significant decade for BYU basketball beyond this season, and I wouldn't take them lightly. I do think their defense is a concern, and I think they're going to need DeBanza to play to his potential on the defensive side of the ball, which is very high. He's an S-tier NBA-level athlete who has like long arms. He's big. He moves well. He should be a really good defender. That doesn't always translate in terms of effort level, especially with these top recruits in their first freshman seasons. And they're going to need him to, because it's not a particularly strong defensive starting lineup outside of him.
Yeah.
And Kevin Young is not necessarily a particularly strong defensive coach either. So it's going to have to be serious. You said they're kind of like a Timu Duke from last year. I kind of also see them as like a worse version of Purdue, like kind of similar strengths, similar failings. They're both being projected big seasons, a lot of expectations coming in. BYU is obviously younger, a lot of differences too, but just this very, very strong offense. They're going to be super, super fun. They could be the best offense in the country. Like, watch BYU if they're on TV. I do think their defense has concerns, and come March, I don't know if that's a team I'm going to bet on. But that's kind of...
Yeah. And come January, too, because you got to remember they're playing in the best conference in the country.
Yeah.
So, like, they're going to get away with it in the non-con with having... you can have some light defense there, but once you play some Big 12 players and some Big 12 stars, you're going to get exposed if you have weaknesses on the defensive side.
For sure. BYU is super interesting. I want to talk about a team... I think you briefly mentioned in our first episode that you were somewhat high on them. I want to talk about Iowa State.
Oh, Iowa State? Loses
talent. But I know some people are staying really high on them. Where do you sit with Iowa State? Because I wasn't sure.
I'm higher than the AP poll, I think. I think they are a top three team in this conference. And maybe top three or top four. Here's the thing. I completely understand you lost a ton of scoring with the departures of Keyshawn Gilbert and Curtis Jones. Shout out Curtis Jones, who just went off in the preseason game last night. But the retaining is still so good. Like, Taman Lipsey's one of the best true point guards in the country. He demands him so well. He's obviously from Ames, so that's a cool story there. Milan Momcilovic is an NBA talent really waiting to flourish and take that next step offensively, where he has a Dirk-style game where he can stress the floor there. And then I think Joshua Jefferson's one of the most underrated players in the country. He comes from St. Mary's last season, where he showed flashes and has the body as a very strong defender and very strong forward, but he took that extra step last season under TJ, where he's so comfortable playing his style of game. He's just out physicals guys back to the basket, always under control. He can stretch the floor when he needs to. He's just going to be so solid and so consistent on an every night basis that that doesn't scare me. Like, their defense is going to be amazing. That's going to be the strength of this team. Yes, the offensive struggles that could come definitely scare me. You do bring in some scoring with Dominic Nelson from Utah Valley and Blake Buchanan from Virginia, which is, brings them good size too. But I just trust that core, and I trust TJ and the home court advantage of Ames. Like, they're so true to TJ's identity and the identity that they've had in the past few seasons, where they're really taking this next step up, where defensively you're just elite, and that's going to take them far.
That's fair. I agree with you that they're going to be a really strong defense, and they're, I'd probably say they're a top five team in this conference. I don't know if I go top four, but they are going to be good, and I think their preseason ranking is 16th in the AP poll. I would probably say that's about right. Probably 10 to 15 range is where I'd look at them. I'd say they're going to stay strong, though, and not, because I do think a lot of people are projecting somewhat of a slip for them because of the talent they lost, because they didn't bring back a lot of big stars in the transfer portal. But I will say that they're probably about properly rated. And a sneaky guy, analytics darling, Eric Mulder, comes over from Purdue Fort Wayne. He's a guy who might, and you're going to love this, you're going to love the way I say this, he might do nothing, and he might have zero impact, but he is a guy that, like, these nerds love this guy.
Like, yeah, they love, I don't even know if he'll be in their rotation.
Yeah.
Because I think they're, yeah, they're expecting a lot from some other guys, but definitely, like, it's one of those sleepers that you got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you heard about him first on the Mid-Range Podcast, and that's the real important thing.
Yes.
All right, Nick. Let's go down to number 13 in the AP poll with Arizona. I know you're an Arizona guy. Talk to me about Arizona basketball this year.
Look, I love Arizona. I love Arizona. And you know why I love Arizona? Because of the freshmen.
I know why, yes.
Because of the freshmen. Okay. You lost a lot, I know. Caleb Love was everything, I know. Like, Colin Boswell, I know you lost last year. Illinois, Lewis, all these guys. The big man to North Carolina. Toby Awaka's back. I love Toby Awaka's game. I think Tommy Lloyd retained the guys that he wanted to retain. And I think today's era in college basketball, it's a lot of times it gets put on the player for leaving. When, I don't want to say the majority of time, but probably half the time, it's the coach kind of advising a player to leave because you want to bring in other guys. And I think Tommy Lloyd is just so high on these freshmen, specifically Braden Burries and Koa Pete. Koa Pete, one of the best freshmen in this conference.
I know you're a Koa Pete guy.
I'm a huge Koa Pete guy. He's right up there with Darren Peterson and Asia Devanta. And Caden Edwards is up there too, Bug Edwards. But they're physical. They can rebound the basketball. This is a Tommy Lloyd style team. And I think if you were to say it's not a Tommy Lloyd style team, you'd be wrong. They bring back Jaden Bradley, Toby Awaka. They have Koa Pete, Braden Burries. You still have a scoring in Anthony Dell'Orso. Montavious Crevis was having a great year and was really starting to come into his own. And he gets hurt for the season, so he'll be back if he's anything close to his level that he was before and close to his potential. He'll be amazing. You have Bryce James.
You do have Bryce James.
Yes. Young guards, freshmen, question mark. I just love these freshmen. It's a big boom or bust team here. If the freshmen pan out, boom, top 10 team in the country. If the freshmen bust, then low floor. But yeah, these young guys have to be quick and develop fast because they're getting thrown right into the best conference in in the country. So I'll stop talking there, but I am very high on Arizona.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I don't have much to say about Arizona.
Do you agree with that, though? Like, tell me if you... Just tell me, Jacob Weiss. Be honest with me. Do you agree with what I just said or no?
I agree because I defer to you and I trust you. And I'll roll with you. If you think Koa-P is a guy that's going to come in...
Yeah, I love KP.
If you think that freshman will boom and not bust, then I'm with it. And I'll ride with you. Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing worse than a bust, and we know that. We know that, absolutely.
We know that, that's for sure. I don't know what you're trying to say, but...
I'm not trying to say anything. We're talking about basketball. Boom, bust.
Yeah, I know.
We're talking about freshmen busting.
I probably
freshman
had a bad
busting.
Choice for words. I probably had a bad choice
What do you mean?
Words.
There's no bad choice for
okay,
words.
Okay. Let's move on.
I know, we're moving on to DP.
Perfect.
We're getting straight into DP and Kansas, and a team that does not have lofty expectations as Kansas had the last 2 years, ranked number one in the country coming into both seasons. Correct me if I'm wrong, they're outside of the top 15 at 19 this year. Probably generous to even have them in the top 20, you could say.
Well, you're high on this team, aren't you?
I actually am high on this team, and I'll tell you what.
Take the lead.
I've changed my mind on a lot of teams since our intro episode, but you had asked me in our intro episode, who do I think the second best team in the Big 12 is? And I said Kansas, because I trust Bill Self and I trust Darren Peterson. I am going to stick with Kansas as an elite, or not elite, a good team in the Big 12. I think they're going to be better than Iowa State. I think they're going to be better than Arizona. I think they're going to be in that conversation as like that top 3-4 BYU, Tech, Houston, and Kansas. I think Self has had lofty expectations and disappointed the last couple of years. I see him stepping up, coming from a point of lower expectations. I think Darren Peterson is the best guard in the country, other than Braden Smith.
Wow.
You know, DP is a guy I love. I love DP. I can't get enough of him. He's like Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, he's like Anthony Edwards. If you just dropped him into college basketball right now, he's gonna be awesome. He's gonna be a top two, top three pick in the draft next year. Melvin Council comes in, should have a big year for them. He was really good in the A-10 last year. I think a guy that I'm really excited about is Flory Badunga, who in very short minutes last year, about 15 minutes a game, shot 70%, grabbed 5+ rebounds a game, and had about 2 blocks. He's going to be huge for them this year. In more minutes, he's going to be elite on both sides of the ball. He's going to be an elite rim finisher for them, elite paint protector. Him and DP are going to have a great two-man game that I'm very excited to watch. This guy's an elite athlete. Him and DP are why I'm betting on this team and Bill Self as still being one of the best coaches in the country. And I'm going to stick with what I said on the first episode. I'm going to pick them to finish top 3 in the Big 12.
Yeah. I agree with you on Flory and DP. That duo is really, really, really good. My concern is similar to last year where they had great players. The depth is just not there for me. Trey White is a nice add from Illinois. Jaden Dawson is a nice add from Loyola. But there's still a lot of question marks. Like, Jamari McDowell is back. He hasn't proved it to me yet. Amarco Jackson was out for the year last year. He hasn't proved it to me yet. Melvin Council, we'll see. Bryson Tiller is a fun young player. So we'll see about him. There's a lot of things that could work out if any of these guys pan out, because I am sold on DP, where I think he's going to come instant and make a massive impact, and I think Flory retaining was so, so, so massive. But you got to show me the depth, because Bill Self's portal evaluation the past couple seasons, you look at an AJ Store, you look at so many different examples. they haven't been right for the fit of Kansas basketball. So I don't trust those portal ads to really make a massive imprint. So it's going to be DP and Flory, and those guys are going to be amazing, but somebody else needs to step up for me to fully be bought into this team.
Yeah, I think on that note, we should mention that they had Darren Williams from Texas Tech pretty much on their team, right?
Yeah.
And then he bounces and goes to NC State. And then
they needed
there was
that.
Someone else as well, right?
There was a lot. Because we've seen...
Because I remember Self came out over the summer and was like, this is what we want, this is what we're trying to get, and they didn't get anybody, really, for any significant players. Like, yeah, they go to the A-10 and grab a couple depth pieces. That's not really the Kansas level, and I think they missed out on some guys that they were really hoping to bring in. And I do think it's a totally valid concern about their depth. I'm just betting on top-end talent and great coaching. So
yeah, and that's fair.
Kansas is going to be interesting this year. It's like... They're like UNC this year. Them and UNC are going to be really interesting as like blue bloods coming off a couple down years that aren't being looked at very highly, kind of have regressed to where they've been in the preseason stuff. It'll be interesting to see if they can wake up and return to their Giants status that they've had forever in college basketball. Kansas is one of the premier programs, of course. Can they get back to it? I don't know if they're going to be up there, but I think they're going to be better than people expect. DP, Badunga, you know I'm all in on those guys.
Let's see,
is there anyone else in the top 25 that I neglected to mention from Big 12? Or should we move on and get down to kind of that middle tier?
Let's check. We did Houston.
We got them.
Yeah, we got them all.
Houston, BYU, Tech, Iowa State, Kansas, in that order. Where are you at with Cincinnati, Nick?
Cincinnati's interesting. I was very high on Cincinnati. The departure of Jizzle James is massive. He was dismissed from the program about a month ago, it seems like, at this point.
Yeah.
He was supposed to take that next step, and he kind of had to take that next step as a true point guard to make them very good. You still have Day-Day Thomas. They added Shone Abave, who's a top 25 guy out of this class. Freshman coming in. Baba Miller from FAU, I like. And Mustafa Cham was one of the best bigs in the Big 12 last year, coming over from UCF. So I like this team a lot. No Jizzle James is a huge hit in kind of a scramble last minute that you never like to see, because I think this Wes Miller and this Cincinnati team was kind of ready to take that next step, but their defensive inconsistencies and obviously Jizzle James is kind of their guy, and he's not there anymore, so... bad vibes there right now, but we'll see. They still.
I'll tell you what: if they had kept, if Jizzle James didn't get dismissed, this might be the greatest name team of all time.
Yeah,
Jizzle James, Mustafa Thiem, Day-Day Thomas,
Mustafa Cham.
You got Shone Abev, like Baba is coming off the bench. This is an all-time name team, and it's too bad to see Jizzle not be a part of it, because that is really an incredible. I hope he finds help, because I think he's got some mental stuff going on that hopefully he can work through, come back to college basketball next year, and show out for the Buckeyes.
Yes, thoughts and prayers.
Major thoughts and prayers. And major thoughts and prayers to Bill Self, too, and while we're giving thoughts and prayers.
Yes,
major heart health concerns.
Yes.
Major thoughts and prayers for them.
Yes.
Let's talk about another fallen giant in the Big 12 who I'm wondering if you're going to be able to put bias aside on this one. I want to talk about the Baylor Bears in Waco.
Yeah. So they don't return a single player.
No.
Literally, their entire roster walk-ons, everything. They're gone.
Yeah.
And they really didn't get a lot of proven production, especially in the backcourt. Again, Rob Ry being sniped was not planned for, a late developing thing that really hurts him. So they don't really have any production to trust. No Langston Love coming back. Literally, everyone's gone, so I don't even have to name guys. And so that gives me major concerns in their roster's ability to gel because it's just a massive overhaul.
Yeah.
You trust Scott Drew. They have freshman Tonda Yesufu, who's a California guy. Shout out California. And he's their five-star. He's going to come in to be kind of their number one guy. Again, heavy freshman conference. This is going to be another one of those. Obi Agbim from Wyoming, very athletic, very skilled player. Dan Skilling is coming over from Cincinnati. Proven production for them. He was a great role player for them. You know, he'll probably start. And Michael Vitraz from Oregon State was really Oregon State's one of their top players. And when you bring in any player from the WCC, you know, you bring in toughness and proven grit. They're bigger. They're probably tougher. Like, again, we saw their size kind of and toughness kind of hurt them last year, where you were kind of depending on VJ and the guards to bail them out in a lot of games. But again, I do think they're a tournament team because I trust Scott Drew. And they still have enough talent, and, like, again, it's another team dependent on a freshman, but he's an elite freshman. But, no, like, they're probably going to be, like, an 8, 9, 10 seed, like, first-round exit type of team, which is, from a TCU fans' perspective, cool to see, like, their downfall a little bit, or what appears that it could be, because this is a very underwhelming transfer class for a team that won a national championship just 5 years ago. But yeah, it's not great from a Baylor perspective.
It's not. It's a little mid-major all-star team kind of vibes.
Yeah,
you get guys minus from kind of all over the place, and you're just hoping it works out. Bodo.
Yeah, a guy who's he took a visit to TCU.
Did he?
So,
he's a big man that's athletic. Gonna have to be big. Yeah, I mean, he's actually going to have to be huge for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Justin. Yeah, Sofo will be fun. Andre Iguodala Jr., Andre Iguodala II, actually, on this team. Again, I did not know that.
I believe took a visit to TCU as well.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, Mary Tate for everything, but yeah.
No, how could you not? How could you not?
Yeah, it kind of, for me, puts a little damper on Iguodala's legacy that he'd situation.
Yeah.
From what was a finals MVP and kind of one of my idols growing up, but we'll see.
That's fair. I think we can both agree that we've talked about all the teams in the Big 12 that even have a chance of making the tournament.
Well, so, I would argue that there's maybe one you're forgetting.
I really couldn't Kansas even. State? Oh, are you West Virginia?
Kansas State's
going to be fun this year.
Let's just get into accolades, dude. Let's get into accolades.
You want to talk Aggies?
Yeah, let's do it. We're 43 minutes in. The people want accolades. The people want them.
It's perfect. It's called splitting it up. And now we're doing accolades! And it's time to roll.
Let's do it.
And first and foremost, Nick, I'll ask you, who's winning this conference?
The TCU? No. It's Houston. I'm not going to get cute. I'm not going to chalk it. Kelvin Sampson's dominance of this team, of this conference, has been nothing short of amazing, and it would be stupid to go against the trust of him to be able to do it with a big returning trio and then two five-star freshmen. So I'm going to go Houston here. If there was a team to rival them, I would say BYU has a shot just because their ceiling might be the highest, but I trust Kelvin Sampson to get it done and give me the Cougars.
I'm going to go with Houston as well. They're awesome.
And that's fair.
And they're going to be really good. Fair. And we don't need to overcomplicate it. And we don't need to get too far into it because it's pretty chalky, if we're being honest. All right, Nick, why don't you give me... Let's go underrated team here.
Okay, now I have the opportunity. The most underrated team in this conference and maybe the country is unbiased, the TCU Horned Frogs in Fort Worth.
And that's unbiased.
Completely unbiased. Last year's TCU team, they were coming off a program record 3 straight trips to the NCAA tournament with 2 wins involved in those. They lost. They didn't return a single player other than Ernest Udde, who had played minutes the year before. Last year, you lose Frankie Collins, who was kind of your top transfer pickup, who was expected to be the point guard on your team before conference play even started, goes out for the year, and you're playing 4 true freshmen in a injury-riddled, chemistry-off-riddled year that they were close to making the tournament. And the fact that they were close to making the tournament, playing all those freshmen, is nothing short of amazing. And instead of...
And when we say close...
They were... When they upset Texas Tech in February of last season, they were in a good position that if they won a couple games in the Big 12 tournament, they could have gotten a bid. They were right there. Their quad one wins were up there with anybody. They had wins over B1. We don't have to go. We don't have to guess at this. Don't get me fired up. But instead of losing guys, and everybody, we saw Baylor lose their whole roster. We saw everyone lose their whole, a ton of, it's so tough to retain even one player. They bring back all 4 freshmen, both redshirt freshmen. You have David Punch looking to take a massive leap. You have Micah Robinson looking to take a massive leap. Jace Posey, the post show, Malik Diallo, those guys are all back, combined with RJ Jones and Ashton Simmons. Then you get, they hit on pretty much all of their official visits. Brock Harding, OV, he commits. Jaden Pierre from Providence, he commits. That's a instantly better backcourt. And then you also bring in Xavier Edmonds. He was the number one JUCO guy in the country. He'll come in, be a stretch 5, kind of play the 5 position, along with Malik Diallo there. Vianney Salachum from Florida International. And then, shooting was a really, really bad point for this team last year. And usually it's been like, here's this one guy. Like, Brendan Wenzel was supposed to be the guy last year to be a good shooter. Or the years before, it's been a Fran Farabelli, they've had one guy. They not only bring in a Brock Harding and Jaden Pierre who can shoot, they bring in 2 guys proven from big-time conferences and big-time play, Tanner Toulson and Latoris Lelevicius from Oregon State and Utah Valley, respectively. These guys are shooters. These guys are scorers. These guys are going to play perfect with the playmaking of Brock Harding and Jaden Pierre. They are very high on this team, and you can tell because of the gauntlet of a non-conference schedule that they scheduled. Jamie Dixon hasn't done this in recent years. They believe they can throw themselves out in the fire early and get wins big. They have a game on November 14th against number 7 Michigan to start the year at home. If they win that, then everybody's going to be on the TCU train. But starting now, they have Bug Edwards, one of the top freshmen that nobody talks about. Caden Bug Edwards is one of the top scorers, top 23 in the purple and white scrimmage to lead everybody. TCU is going to make the NCAA tournament, and TCU is going to get a win in the NCAA tournament as well. This team is ready. This team is prepared.
And you heard it here on the mid-range first. TCU in the tournament.
Unbiased.
TCU to the Sweet 16. TCU as a... sleeper team for a Final Four. We're Brock Harding. I know you're Brock.
You didn't hear
Harding
from me.
Right.
you didn't hear it from me. You did not hear it from me. But I do not disagree with what you just said, Jacob Weiss.
The mid-range podcast is Brock Hard for TCU. and we know that. I'm going to go with my underrated team. I am going to go with Kansas State. And it's so dumb, and I hate it, and I feel like a fish. But PJ Haggerty was one of the top scorers in the nation last year. He comes in. He's a former TCU guy, as we were talking about. He's going to put up big numbers. He's going to be in contention for Big 12, all Big 12 at the end of the season, no question. Abdi Bashir was a guy who Abdi Bashir is a guy who in a small conference averaged over 20 points a game. He's a bit of a shot chucker. He's a little bit questionable as an efficient basketball player. But Jerome Tang is a good head coach. And Nate Johnson is a guy from Akron who was really good last year. And the stats don't do him complete justice. I went to the MAC championship last year. It was Miami versus Akron. I watched this guy for four quarters. He is an incredible defender, like clamps perimeter defender. He's great in transition. He's a hustle guy. He won MAC Player of the Year, MAC Defensive Player of the Year last year. He's going to be really, really good for Kansas State. And I am going to pick Kansas State to go to the tournament. I think they're going to be better than people think. And I also think they're going to be a team that is going to – here's how Kansas State's season is going to look. They're going to lose to Arizona State, and then they're going to beat BYU. It's going to be losses, bad losses, good wins. It's going to be like Ohio State type thing last year, where they're going to be on that bubble because they're going to win big games because they have the talent to compete. And I'm going to stick with them to make a tournament run. Nick, you alluded to it earlier, but I'll just give you the chance to say it again. Texas Tech is your overrated team?
Yes, Texas Tech is my overrated team. I do want to talk about Kansas State a little bit because we saw them make probably bigger splashes in the transfer last year. Doug McDaniel from Michigan. Coleman Hawkins had one of the biggest NIL contracts of all time, and it didn't work out. It hasn't worked out for Jerome Tang since the Marquise Noel team that made the Elite Eight, and he's been very underperforming. And this roster, like, it seems like PJ Haggerty and just a massive drop-off. I don't know if I trust them to really make that to make a tournament and do well, because again, PJ Haggerty was a very late addition. They have pretty much brand new roster. Like, I just don't see the talent on this team to, I don't know, be able to hold up. But I just want to throw my take about Casey in there.
You're gonna learn Nate Johnson. You're gonna learn Abdi Bashir. You're gonna learn Kansas State ducking 100 points on TCU's head, and I can't wait. I can't wait. And I know you're having a tough time talking about Kansas State right now after what happened this weekend, but it was a basketball podcast.
A different sport. And while TCU football hasn't won in Manhattan since 2017, TCU basketball has won four of the last five there. So
wow. In the Big Apple. That's impressive.
The Little Apple. All I'm saying is they claim to have this unreal environment in Manhattan. made this crazy thing, and then you see Jameer Nelson Jr. game winner. You see Damian Ba go in there and make a big play late a few years ago. Prove it with the Frogs.
Well, we'll see it this year. They are bottom three in the T rank for the Big 12. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Do you want to continue? Do you want to give me a TTU spiel, or should we just?
I feel like I already kind of did. It's similar to like a Kansas where you're depending on the duo of Christian Anderson and JT Toppin a lot, and I just think the guys they brought in were significantly less than like a Darren Williams, a Elijah Hawkins, a Chance McMillan, guys like that. So I don't like enough what they did in the portal to be able to hold that top 10 standard. Because they're still a tournament team. They're still probably a top 25 team. Top 10 is pretty big rankings, and I just don't think they're going to live up to that. They're the hot when it comes to the Hurs.
That's like a good point. I love that. That's good. We'll throw that in the clip for sure. I see your concern with Texas Tech. I didn't think about it that way coming into this pod, but now that you mention it, it is a good point. They really don't return a ton. You kind of got
to
trust.
I just love
them
D5,
extent,
to be honest.
I know you're. I know you're a D5 guy.
Bay Area. You just love LaJuan Watts, don't you? You're a sucker for any WCC transfer.
Of course. You know I am. You know I love. You know I love the WCC. That's the podcast I grew up in, or that's the conference I grew up with.
Yeah.
Die hard.
Shout out California.
Big time shout out California. Shout out the Bay. Shout out California.
Shout out the state.
I'm going to go with BYU as an
overrated
team. Yeah.
Whoa. Overrated. Give me your spiel, Jacob Weiss. Tell me why BYU is overrated. Tell me.
It's not. I kind of already gave it earlier. They're top 10 in the country. We're not talking like they're being projected as some sleeper, might pop off team. They're being rated in the top 10, and they're going to have to prove that these guys can fit together and be a top 10 team in a serious way. And that's one thing I can't say for sure is going to happen. Their defense is bad. Their defense is not good. Their defense is really not good at all, and it's something that will come to bite you in the Big 12 where there's a lot of great offenses. No matter how good your offense is, how good your freshmen are, how good your transfers are, if none of them, they're guys that can play defense are going to hurt the offense. They're great offensive players. They're going to hurt the defense. And I don't think they're going to be. Okay. I don't think they're going to be a top 10 team come the end of the season. So I think they're overrated. I still think they're really good, and I think they're going to be really fun. And I'm excited to watch them, but in that sense, I'd say they're my overrated team. Because I actually just like a lot of these teams. And I like Iowa State.
It's
and
such
I like
a good conference, isn't it?
It is a pretty fun conference. And I hate to say that. Because everyone knows I'm a 10 guy. It's not the best. But everyone knows I'm a 10 guy through and through.
It's the best.
Where did they finish Kempom last year as a conference?
This isn't last year, buddy.
When's the last time they finished third?
Most teams in the top 10 of the AP, tied for most teams in the
top 10. Oh, Big 12 with preseason hype.
Hey, this is a new year. This is a new year. You don't know what this TCU team is going to provide. I think they're the swing. But yes.
Yeah, TCU.
I understand your take. I disagree with it, but I understand it.
And I appreciate that.
And that's fair.
And that's totally fair. You want to go, give me your tournament teams, give me a coach of the year, and then we'll get into the player awards.
Tournament teams. Houston. Texas Tech. Iowa State. Arizona. BYU. Kansas. I think Cincinnati figures it out without Jizzle. Enough to scrape in. Did I say Baylor? I think Baylor gets in. And I think the Horned Frogs get in. Nine teams from the conference get into the dance.
All right.
That's my prediction. What was the other accolade you want me to give?
Coach of the Year, if you have one.
You want me to coach of the year?
Yeah. I wonder.
I got a coach of the year.
Yeah,
I'll give a coach
do.
Of the year to a guy who is coming off probably an underwhelming year. Didn't hit on a lot of transfers that he wanted to last year. But a guy who retained a lot, hit a lot of the guys he wanted to in the portal, pretty much everybody. Doing it on a budget that's bottom half of the Big 12. And isn't scared to schedule some dogs.
Yeah.
He scheduled Florida in the non-conference. He scheduled Notre Dame in the non-conference. He scheduled North Texas in the non-conference. Scheduled Michigan in the non-conference. Scheduled Wisconsin or Providence in the non-conference. Guy's confident in his team. Guy's not scared of nobody. The guy's going to have a huge bounce back year and be the most surprising team, underrated team in this conference. Give me Jamie Dixon, Big 12 Coach of the Year.
Wow.
Unbiased.
Completely unbiased. You surprise me more and more every day. I would have never thought you were going there, but I respect the pick 100%.
And I want that clipped. I want that clipped.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you do want that clipped. That's a clip. That's a good clip for you. That clip definitely plays.
We're going to look back at this at the end of the year, and you're going to be like, oh, wow, I really didn't see the Frogs coming. Oh, wow, like, that's an amazing coaching job, like, to be able to do this with this team. Obviously, far less payroll, as I said, and who really didn't duck anybody. Like,
not $1 million player.
Nobody could have said this, right? No unbiased, media member. But we're gonna look back, and I'm gonna be like, "All right, here's the clip. I said it," because you're probably gonna forget that I would ever have this take. But that's the take I have.
I mean, come March when TCU's playing UConn in the Elite Eight, we're all gonna be looking at who's the guy that knew TCU would be here.
Unbiased.
And it's like, wait a second. The mid-range podcast, those guys are tiny. I don't never heard of them. Wait,
who gave
the co-host?
Mics to those guys?
Yeah, who the hell gave mics to those? They give mics to anybody, except for the fact that actually we were first, and that's what they don't want you to know. We were first on the TCU Horned Frogs. Once again, unbiased. Tournament teams: Houston, BYU, Arizona, Iowa State, Kansas, Tech, Baylor, Kansas State. Also, I got 8 teams. You had 9. I do not have Cincinnati in mind. I do not have TCU in mind. I'm sorry.
Okay. Noted.
That's my 8
teams. Buckle up.
Noted. Put that on a clip. Put that on the clip when TCU makes their Elite Eight run.
Run that on a clip. Put you on the news.
Wait, what?
Put you on the news.
That
has world's worst take. That's going to headline ABC News tomorrow.
We're coming to you live from the mid-range podcast.
Frogs in the tournament.
Jacob Weiss has said the stupidest thing in human history.
I completely understand.
Coach of the Year, Bill Self, Kansas.
Noted.
They finished.
Noted.
it's not a dig on TCU not to pick Jamie Dixon to be Coach of the Year.
No, noted. It's just I'm noting what you're saying. I'm not saying anything else. I'm just saying noted. That's all I'm saying.
And that's noted.
Noted.
And Bill Self,
I'm noting it.
The Jayhawks heard your disrespect too. And they're going to be.
I love DP. I'm not low on the Jayhawks. I'm just not saying.
Yes, you are low on the Jayhawks.
I like Florida. I'm. Okay. I'm probably.
Where do you have them finishing? You say you love DP, but when it comes time to prove how much you love DP, you won't go in there with me, and you won't dive in with me on something like this.
I have them finishing 7th.
Yeah, and that's low. That's obviously low.
Okay, but they're still a tournament. They're still a tournament team. They're going to be better.
Yeah, but it's Kansas.
Okay. I'm lower on them, but I think DP is amazing. All right,
and that's fair. Right. And that's fair.
What other tournament teams do you have? Sorry. Oh wait, no. You said Bill Self, Coach of the Year.
Bill Self, Coach of the Year. Tournament teams: Houston, BYU, Arizona, Iowa State, Kansas, Tech, Baylor, Kansas State.
Are we on our
boom
player stuff? Are we on to players?
We are on to players. We got player of the year, freshman of the year. Do you want to do a draft for all conference?
Yeah, let's do a draft. I will say, I'll give my player of the year though. I think it's JT Toppin. As much as I've hated on Texas Tech, it's just he's gonna have to do so much. He's gonna put a massive effort, and Texas Tech is still gonna be a top five team in this conference, and still make headlines. And JT Toppin is gonna have another amazing year. So, give me Toppin. But let's do the draft.
Well, we'll do a player of the year and freshman of the year, and then we'll do the draft. But we'll get to the draft for sure.
Oh yeah, okay.
And I'm excited for it. I'm gonna go with my player of the year and my freshman of the year is the same guy. It's DP from the Kansas Jayhawks. Darren Peterson is gonna light college basketball on fire this year as one of the best scorers in the country. He's gonna average over 20 points a game, 5+ assists. He's going to be a monster. He's going to carry Kansas along with Badunga to a big, big season where they compete for the Big 12 and they compete come March. Give me Darren Peterson, player of the year, freshman of the year.
I like that. I love DP.
I know.
Freshman of the year, I'm going to go Koa Peak.
Okay.
Because I think, and this is close to me, I was close to going Caden Edwards. But I'm gonna go Koa Pete. Koa Pete's gonna have to be dynamic for Arizona to be really good. Similar to a DP, similar to a Tonda Yesfu for Baylor. But I'm just high on this Arizona team, and I think Koa Pete's gonna be the reason to do it. So give me Koa Pete. I was close going Bryce James too, but I went Koa Pete.
Bryce James. Genuine. Does Bryce James get drafted to the NBA in 2026?
No. LeBron starts a new league and Bryce James goes to that league. Rival league.
I like that. Rival league. And that's what it's going to be called, though. All right.
All right.
You like that one?
Draft?
Let's get to drafting. You know, everyone loves the drafts. This is what sets us over the top as a podcast. We like to do it a little different. We do it a little different. Who you got first, Nick? You first.
All right, I'll go my player of the year. I'll go JT Toppin. Actually, no. I'm going to go Darren Peterson.
What the hell?
Give me DP first.
You didn't even pick him for freshman of the year, and you're going to take him first in the draft?
I know, okay. I'm going JT Toppin. I just wanted to mess with this. Give me JT Toppin.
Yeah.
How deep are we going? 10 deep?
You want to go 10 deep?
5 deep
each?
I'll go. Go 10 total?
I'll go 10 deep.
All right. I want JT Toppin first.
All right. I want DP first.
All right. Give me... JoJo Tugler, Houston. He's not going to put up the stats, but he's going to be impactful. If you have a front court of JT Toppin and JoJo Tugler, try stopping that.
That would be pretty good.
Pick a player. You're leaving.
Can you imagine?
Waiting.
I'm leaving them waiting for a big time pick here. I'm going with AJ DeBanza, the highest paid player in college basketball, the true freshman superstar for the BYU Cougars, right?
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go with Milos Yuzan.
Yeah,
going double Houston. Miles Houston, the guy who could have been an NBA draft pick last year, came back. He's going to be the star there. We've seen guards have monster years in recent history. LJ Cryer, Jamal Shedd, Marcus Sasser. There's been many, so I think he's next up.
100%. I'm going to go with PJ Haggerty, Kansas State. Tournament run. He's going to be one of the top scorers in the conference. I know you don't like him because you have deep-seated resentment.
I like him.
You have deep-seated resentment.
I just think
you got
a
TCU.
No, I'm not even, like, I know I went to TCU, but I'm not really biased about them in any way.
That's true.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to accuse you of bias, but PJ Haggerty is going to be a first team all Big 12 player, no doubt in my mind.
I don't disagree.
Book it.
Actually, I do, but not in a disrespectful manner. I'm going to go with the best player in BYU, Richie Saunders.
Wow. The best player on BYU?
This is why we do the draft. We can have a little bit of takes, get a little extra conversation in. This is good stuff. I do truly believe that.
That's an interesting take. He probably is. Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to go with Joshua Jefferson, Iowa State. I know he's a guy you love. He's a former Gale. He's going to have a big year this year. I'm excited. I'm excited for Iowa State, just like you. I'm in. That's our first team. That's five each.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the best player on Iowa State. I'm going to go to Taman Lipsey. Point guard. Real Ames, Iowa, born, raised, been there a while, been starting for them a while. Give me Taman Lipsey.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised this guy didn't get taken by you yet, but I will go with Koa Pete.
That's
at Arizona.
Fair.
He's a guy you love. He's a guy I'm excited to see this year, and Arizona's going to be a lot of fun, and they're going to put up some points.
All right. Give me give me Flor Badunga. Flor Badunga is going to have a massive year, as we talked about. It's just him and DP. Maybe Trey White, maybe some other guys fill in, but as we see the roster right now, they're both going to have monster years, so give me Flory.
One veteran left on Houston. I'll take him here. Emmanuel Sharp. You've not picked him.
I like
correct?
That pick. I like that pick.
I'm going to go with Emmanuel Sharp at Houston. You're going to have another big year. Easy. Safe pick.
I don't know how this guy got to me. I'm going to go Brock Harding, TCU. you know, he was one of the top assist guys in the Big Ten last year. Coming over. He's going to have a Mike Miles type season. But he's one of the best guards that TCU's had since Mike Miles, maybe the best. So, I think Brock Harding's going to have a massive year for the Frogs.
Yeah. Brock Harding. And I'm going to go with Chris Cenac, the true freshman on Houston. He is a top recruit. He's going to have to be a huge part of the offense. He could end up being their go-to guy on offense, I think. And if that happens, he'll be a top pick. He'll be probably third team, second team, all Big 12.
Give me Jaden Bradley, Arizona. With the departure of Caleb Love, he's kind of in his shadow. He's been there a few years now. He's ready to take that next step, and he's the guy that's going to, I believe, to play alongside Koa Pete and really kind of lead that team. So... Jaden Bradley, book it. Monster year.
That's fair. I'm going to go with Michael Rataj. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Michael Rataj at Baylor. Comes over from Oregon State. He's probably going to have to be their top scorer this season with Yusufu. And, yeah, Scott Drew. Michael Rataj, book it.
How much more picks we got left?
I believe we have two more each.
I'm going to go Rob Wright. Rob Wright, BYU. He was a very good freshman last year. Obviously getting paid some of the best money in the nation, so he's got to be good, right? Give me Rob Wright in Kevin Young's pro-style system. Rob Wright.
I'm going to go with Tunde Iesufu, who I briefly mentioned 2 seconds ago when I picked Rataj. This is the conference of freshmen. Big 12 freshmen, we both know there's nothing better than Big 12 freshmen.
I don't know why I keep saying that, but yeah.
I'm just saying, like, Big 12 freshmen,
right.
Like, historically.
You're right.
There's always, like, VJ Edgecombe last year as a guy, Big 12 freshman. Like, it's just exciting big time players come from the Big 12 and make the leap straight
Big
to the NBA.
Freshmen.
And there's nothing better than Big 12 freshmen, and I'm going to go with Tunde Iesufu.
All right, my last pick. I'm gonna go Christian Anderson, Texas Tech. Again, him and JT are gonna have to be dynamic. He came in strong as a freshman last year. and really looking for a next step in his sophomore season with the departures of D5 and Chance McMillian and those dudes. So, yeah, I think Christian Anderson is set to have a huge statistical year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a guy from a team that we really haven't talked about at all. Konyae Cleary at Oklahoma State is a guy
who didn't play. Let's talk about the Pokes.
You want to? You want to finish the pod with a little talk about
Oklahoma State? Just to give them some love, because I really like the Pokes. I think Steve Lutz, they just got a big 4-star today. I mean, in terms of like getting better, like they're going to be frisky this year. And I think it would be disrespectful of us as a pod to not mention them. Konyae Cleary from Mississippi State. Anthony Roy's a guy who barely played last year for Green Bay, but he averaged 26 points a game in his minus in his short playing time. If he even gets half of that, that's an amazing get. And Isaiah Coleman from Seton Hall is amazing. Their offensive upside is through the roof. Yes, they have some defensive issues, and yes, when you didn't have a lot of success last year, but things are looking up. Like I said, they got a 4-star today. Steve Lutz did a good job in the portal. I like what they're doing in the S. Lutz era. Defensive issues still kind of scare me, but I think this offense could be fun and the post could be frisky. So thank you for bringing
that's fair.
Up.
Anthony Roy in Doug Gottlieb's exciting offense last year. He actually was pretty damn good. And he went off against Oklahoma State in the first game, which is probably a big reason why he's there.
Yes. And was smart to only play the X amount of games to get an extra year of eligibility.
Oh. Interesting. I actually didn't know that.
Was a disaster last year. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't great, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Doug Gottlieb was getting into it with, who was it on Twitter? Was it
Rappaport? Well, he was still doing his podcast while he was coaching, which is going to cause you to have a social media presence, cause you to be
for sure
less. Yeah, it probably wasn't a smart decision. I remember he did a show from Eskimo Joe's, which is a very notable Oklahoma State restaurant, on the day of game day, which was a strange move to open up that game. But all this to say, Doug Gottlieb, maybe not a great actual coach.
Yeah, and I know if you got hired at, say, Abilene Christian this week and they needed you to be the head coach of the team, I know, and I would understand, you quit the pod.
Yeah,
you head
if
over
I ever get hired, I will completely quit the mid-range because I want to put all my focus into that.
Of course.
Big X and O guy. I got a lot of tests on my mind. So, if anybody wants to reach out, hit me.
And on that note, Nick is available for hire to any small, mid-major D1 basketball teams interested in a new head coach.
Or high major.
TCU, if it doesn't work out this year with Dixon.
Okay,
Nick's ready and waiting.
No.
Don't you worry.
No. In 20 years, if he decides to hang it up, then I would be happy to take an interview.
You would be gracious. To take that opportunity. Please follow the Mid-Range CBB on all platforms. Posting on.
We're 3 weeks away from basketball. We have an exciting guest that we're recording with tomorrow. So look forward to that in the next episode.
Why don't you preview our guest, Nick? Why don't you give him a shout out?
You
want to
say who it is?
Yeah.
Are we breaking some news? When is this pod going to drop? Tuesday?
This pod will come out
Wednesday?
On Wednesday, and then we'll drop
and then the guest
on Friday.
Coming. So you'll hear the first guest of the mid-range. Some people have declined, but this guy's the rider. This guy's breaking news left and right. One of the top college basketball personalities on X.com, the Everything app. In general, he's a great podcast with the Field of 68. Hosts the mid-major show. Rocco Miller will be joining the The Mid-Range Podcast, if all goes well, we're recording tomorrow. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited to get the first guest on and really start to get this thing going as we start to wrap up previews and everything and start to get into it. So I'm sure we'll ask him some scheduling questions, some future NCAA tournament expansion questions, while along just get general thoughts about the season and maybe some mid-major stuff. So if you're a mid-major fan too, we'll hopefully get it all in. So excited for that one.
Absolutely pumped for Rocco. It's going to be a great episode. Bring some major kettle experience corn in the field. Kettle corn. Get your kettle corn ready, folks.
Yeah.
It's Rocco.
This is huge for us. Awesome. Shout out Rocco.
It's pretty good. No reason to do it.
He has no reason. We have like 2 followers. Nobody listens to our show. Yeah. So hopefully this gets us off the ground a little bit and gets us rolling. And I'm sure we'll have some good clips from it that Jacob Weiss is always does a great job putting out. So excited for it.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This was the Mid-Range. This is Jacob Weiss signing off. See you next time.